ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
When you first got married, if you're married, you were showing everyone, telling everyone about your spouse, right? You were so excited. Now you're 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years down the road. Are you still that excited? I'll tell you what, as you spend time with your spouse, you will rekindle those flames. And you will be just as excited, maybe even more excited than when you first got married. When we spend time with the Lord, the more we spend with Him, He just fills our heart to overflowing. And man, we just burst forth the things of Jesus. 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Absolutely. And if we don't seek the Lord, we're the ones that miss out on what God has for us. And many times as we're not seeking the Lord, we're filling our lives with things that can lead us into trouble. 2 Chronicles 12:14, "And he did evil." Why? Because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. You know, remember Joshua, and I think it was the Gibeonites. You know, Joshua was in the land, and the Gibeonites heard what Joshua and his men had done, and they didn't want to get wiped out. So they pretended they came from a faraway country. Came a long distance, their clothes were all tattered, their cheese was molded, you know, their bread was hard as a rock, shoes were all worn out. And Joshua bought into their story and said, "Oh no, we won't hurt you." And it says that because Joshua didn't seek the Lord, he was deceived by this. We need to seek the Lord. It is that important to draw close to Him and let Him teach us the things we need to learn. And for all these people who were fed by Jesus and seeking Jesus, we're going to see that they're seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons. And here's the problem. Look at verse 25 here in John chapter 6. "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.'" Now, let me start out by saying this. What was the question that they asked Jesus? It's simple. "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Did Jesus answer their question? Isn't that funny? I mean, you know, sometimes we read and we don't really read. But he didn't answer their question. You see, the answer to their question would have been, "Hey, guys, you know, I walked across the Sea of Galilee at nighttime to help my men who were in this fierce windstorm, and they were going nowhere. And when I got to them in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, I got into the boat, the wind stopped, we were immediately and miraculously transported to this area. That's how I got here." That's not what we read. What does he say? He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." What is Jesus doing? He's getting to the heart of the issue. He goes right to the heart. Hey, this is the other thing. How did I get here is not important. Let's deal with the heart here. Jesus wanted them to know how you get to heaven and be filled, not with physical bread, but the bread of life. And that's what he's going to be talking about in the rest of this chapter, really, that he's the bread of life. And in this crowd of people, it wasn't just the people that were there with Jesus on the other side. We're told when they had crossed over in Matthew 14, verses 34 and 35, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So here's another large group of people, and it seems like the crowd just kept growing and growing when people heard about Jesus. And really, this whole chapter is dealing with Jesus being the bread of life now. In fact, it happened in the synagogue according to John 6:59. That's where he taught them. Remember, Jesus just spent the previous day speaking to them about spiritual things. And what are they focused on now? Physical. How often that happens to us, right? You know, we're spiritual, now we're carnal, we're physical, we're thinking not spiritual anymore. Maybe because they were hungry, I don't know, and they wanted Jesus to give them some more bread to feed them. And it's, again, a matter of the heart. One writer said they were quite unaffected by the wisdom of his words and the beauty of his deeds, but a miracle that found food precisely met their wants. And so there was an excited but impure enthusiasm, very unwelcome to Jesus. So they're seeking Jesus really for the wrong reasons. And I think, well, what does that even have to do with us? How do we apply that to our lives? What is the Lord showing us through this all? I think the point the Lord is making is that they're carnally minded. We as Christians could be very carnally minded. We still have these bodies of flesh that we drag around with us, and that's the issue. You know, Paul talked about this in Romans 8, verses 5 through 9, and he's speaking of unsaved people here. But can we apply this to our lives? I think so. He wrote, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity or at war against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Now again, Paul's talking about the unsaved here. But again, we as Christians can set our minds on fleshly things, not living according to the Spirit. Just like these people here who came to for Jesus for more physical food. And for us, what is the passion of our lives? What are we seeking after? You know, for the carnal Christian, it's all about satisfying self. And that's what we see a lot today. I think the church has helped this problem. Yeah, the world has definitely added to this problem, but I think the church has fed into this problem. Because the church has become a service organization. You're the customers now. And I have to meet your needs. And, you know, gosh, when we got to maybe change things up because your needs aren't being met, we got to do this. You know, we see it with big worship, right? You know, thank God we got a small stage because we can't have a big worship. But, you know, the big lights, you know, they could spend $1 million on lights and sound, the sound equipment. They can have fog machines. They could have everything else. Why? To draw the people. You got to see our light show. It's bigger and better than the one down the street. Well, is that why we're coming for the light shows? It's the flesh then. It's not the Spirit that we're trying to feed. We're feeding the flesh. And the more you feed that monster, the flesh, the more it'll be manifested in your life. I think for us as Christians, and I'm not trying to make people feel bad, but we got to evaluate our walk. I think that's important. I do it all the time. That's what these studies are about for me. You know, they're for me. You just happen to hear what they're about. If I can spend, you know, 3 hours, say, watching a sporting event and then complain about a sermon being too long, that's an issue of my heart. And I know it sometimes it's like, wow, Lord, I didn't look at it that way. Or 3 hours watching a movie. Lord, I can read a verse today. That's all I have time for. You see, what is the most important thing in our lives? You know, again, people say, why are you going to Russia? Things are a mess. You know, you got the coronavirus, the whatever thing that's going on. Because this is where the Lord called me. I don't worry about it. When he calls me somewhere, I just go. If he shuts it down, he shuts it down. I am very comfortable how the Lord leads. And that's for us. Are we willing to take those steps and do the things that God wants us to do? And I realize that, you know, as I talk about this, people go, wow, you know, you're going to rub people the wrong way by what you said. You probably should read that book, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I haven't read it yet. You could obviously tell. But the thing is, doesn't God want to challenge us to get us to take a deep look inside our hearts and go, you know what, I can do better. I want to do better because I want to draw close to you. I want to be sensitive to your leading. I want to be used to the fullest in these days that we're living in. For the people of Jesus' day, what was going on here, they were consumed and dominated by their fleshly desires, feeding the flesh. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating, but is it the focus of our life? They weren't thinking about the future. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? And as Christians, I want to prepare to meet my Maker by being used by Him to the fullest. You know, the word carnal in the Greek speaks of being dominated by the inclinations of the old fallen nature. Yeah, the old man was crucified with Christ, but we still have to deal with that old nature. That's why these bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God, because we still got that old nature with us. And if you doubt that, let me poke you a little bit and see how angry you get. That old nature will come forth. It's something we have to deal with on a daily basis. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Who can help me? And then he comes to Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is the one. Submitting to His Spirit to guide us, to do the right thing. Ellen Redpath said this. He said, the carnal Christian is a child of God, born again and on his way to heaven, but he's traveling third class. You're missing out on all that God has for you. That's the idea. You know? Jesus is going to speak to these crowds and he's going to tell them, look, I am the bread of life. And again, bread sustains us. We need that. And I realize that there are some that think, you know, everything that goes wrong in their life is some kind of satanic plot to destroy earthly happiness. But is our life really about happiness? And I'm not saying it's easy when difficulty comes. But I'm here to tell you, difficulty comes every single day. There's always challenges. And I have to be honest, I wish James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8 were removed. I don't like them, but I know they're there for me. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Are you kidding me? When I get to heaven, I want to talk to him. What's the matter with you? When you fall into various trials, count it all joy? Why? Why do I need to count it all joy? Oh, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I'm a very impatient person. I don't know about you guys, but I am impatient. You know, I want the Bears to win the Super Bowl. Now. I know, you guys are laughing. I'm sorry. I do. But I'm learning patience, right? And God does that with us. He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you lack something, ask the Lord. You see, God is working. That's the difference between spiritual believers and carnal. How do we deal with the trials we face? And there's a lot of times I blow it. I become mad. What's going on, Lord? I don't get it. You need to be patient. I'm working here in you. Oh, thanks, Lord. It's tough. And again, some people think it's some kind of satanic plot to destroy their earthly happiness, and they're rebuking the devil, and they're losing out. They're missing their focus. It should be Jesus. You see, God, and I'm just being honest with you, does not exist to make me happy. God exists so that I may bless Him and honor Him and worship Him and one day spend eternity with Him and be used by Him while I'm here on this earth. And I'll tell you what, some of the greatest joy that I have in my life is being used by God. Is it easy? Absolutely not. I mean, we were talking about Vacation Bible School this morning, and it was interesting because I said, every time we get ready for Vacation Bible School, it's like something goes crazy. Someone is mad at me. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to serve in the Vacation Bible School. And oh, now we got to find a replacement. And people go, well, why do you? Maybe God's shutting the door. No, He's not. The devil's trying to stop us and discourage us, and we have it. And tell you what, we're blessed, and I think the kids are blessed. Don't give up so easy. Forge ahead. I guarantee I've never run a race that was easy. I always had to forge ahead. I had to push myself. And the Christian faith is a race. It's a long-distance race. And if you ever ran a long-distance race, if you ever ran a marathon, you realize you don't start out sprinting. You just maintain your pace all the way through and get to the finish line. What's the finish line? It's heaven. It's being with the Lord. You see, this is truly a battle. James says, when you fall into various trials, he didn't say if you do, when you do, it's going to happen. And we have to be aware of it. And here's the thing that we miss out on. God will give us exactly what we need for each trial that we're going through. Because there's something specific he's trying to teach us. And what happens when we're in these trials is we move away from God's word. We don't read it. We don't want to be in fellowship with people. We don't go to church. The Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's just speaking of salvation, right? Absolutely not. Our faith continues to grow as we read God's word. We look at, for instance, we're going through a heavy trial. We just happen to be in Job. I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm going through something heavy and I turn on our radio station, it's like, come on, every single pastor's dealing with my problem? What is wrong with you guys? And I go, okay, Lord, I guess you're trying to teach me something here. Every single guy is dealing with something like this. Come on. But that's how much God loves us. He wants to continually teach us. And we learn that patience. And it's hard. Trials produce endurance. And we got to seek the Lord. Lord, what do you have for me through this? And I guess for the question, I guess for each of us is, why are we seeking Jesus? Are we seeking him to know him more and more and to trust in him more and more? Because the more you know him, the more you can trust him. You know, think about your parents. You trusted them. When you were afraid, you held their hand. I remember years ago, my wife when she was a little girl, she said that they were in this, I think it was a department store, and there's a lot of people in there, and she went up thinking that this woman's hand was her mom's hand, and she held on to it and was walking for a while and then looked and realized it wasn't her mom, and she was fearful. You see, when you know someone, you could trust them. And when you know God, you learn to trust him through each and every situation that you go through. That's what I love about our Lord. He's constantly drawing us close. He's taken us out of our comfort zone. And believe me, I love living in a comfort zone because it's easy. I don't have to do anything. But he stretches us, and he keeps stretching us so we grow in the faith. Now, here's the thing. If we're seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons, we're going to be disappointed. That's not the relationship that God wants with us. He doesn't want us to think of him like some kind of cosmic Santa Claus that's just going to give us whatever we want. Not at all. He gives us what we need. And I see that over and over again in my own life. And here are these people, the crowds of people approaching Jesus, asking for food. That's what they were interested in. And you think that Jesus would be angry at them, right? You know, if he was Italian, he'd probably say, what's the matter, you guys? But he wasn't. But Jesus does correct them. Why? Because he wants to get them back on track. He wants them to see what is eternally important and not something that satisfies the flesh just. Because think about it. I want that, you know, caramel pecan frozen custard. And, oh, it's so good, right? And then, you know, after you're done 5 minutes later, it's gone. Jesus gives us something that's everlasting. That's why he wants them to focus not just on the physical, but focus on him, on the eternal. Listen to what Jesus says. Look at verse 27 here in John chapter 6. Jesus said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal on him. Remember, Jesus just finished exposing their hearts, saying, look, the only reason you guys are here is to have your bodily appetites satisfied. Empty faith. And Jesus wants them to contrast between material things and spiritual things. And isn't it easy to be attracted to physical things? It is. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are just drawing us into a deeper relationship. Does Jesus meet our material needs? Yeah, but is that the biggest issue? No, the biggest issue is eternal life. And that's what he's trying to give to these people, that these crowds of people that were around him. And these miracles didn't verify who Jesus, or did verify, excuse me, who Jesus was. He's the Messiah. And again, they spent the day before Jesus, he taught them all day long. Now the next day, they forgot all the things that they learned, and they're focusing on the physical, and Jesus is correcting them. And the way that this verse is written in the Greek is interesting because Jesus is emphatic about this. He's basically telling them this: make absolutely sure about your salvation. Make it a passion of your life. It needs to be the object of your intense desire, the true obsession of your life, and not this physical food. Yeah. You know, we again think of in very short periods of time, this right here and now. God's looking at the eternal, and he's preparing us for heaven down here. You know, you remember the story of the man who his wife had died, he lost his job, he got evicted from his house. It was a Christian man. He lost everything. He was devastated. He didn't know what was going on, and he was walking one day, and he saw the construction of this big building, and this construction worker was cutting this little piece of stone out. And so this guy was interested. Well, you know, what are you doing? And he said to the Christian man, I'm preparing this down here to fit in up there. And it's like the Lord spoke to his heart. That's exactly what he's doing with me. Yeah, I went through some pretty very difficult times, hardest times ever. But he's working on me down here to fit in up there. You know, Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah, I like that about our Lord. He feeds us spiritually speaking. And again, Jesus didn't say that they weren't to labor for their food. You know, some people think, hey, well, I'm not supposed to work. I'll let other people feed me. No, you know, if we don't eat or we don't work, we don't eat. No, yeah, you got physical handicap and things like that, that I understand that. You can't work necessarily. But there's a lot of Christians out there who are lazy. I had one guy who was in a Christian ministry, proud that he wasn't working and was taking food from the government. He's getting paid by the government to do his Christian work. I thought, really? If you have to, then just get a job. How is that honoring God? And remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well in Samaria in John chapter 4. Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. It's the well that they were at. But he says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 4, he's talking about living water. Here in John chapter 6, we're going to see in verse 35, next time, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Bread and water are what we need for these physical bodies, right? To survive. And Jesus says, I'm giving you this for your spiritual lives as well. The spiritual water, the Holy Spirit, the spiritual bread, the Word of God to feed us, spiritually speaking. Ray Stedman put it like this. He said, one of our pastors told me of a recent Barbara Walters television program. Okay, Barbara Walters, a long time ago, okay? Some of you don't even know who Barbara Walters is. But he watched in which she interviewed three celebrities, very interesting celebrities, Johnny Carson, Johnny Cash, and Walter Cronkite. Again, these are older people. Some of you may not know them, but Johnny Carson, he told me, came across as the typical jaded playboy hedonist. Everything he said telegraphed the fact that he was living for pleasure, but having tried everything and been everywhere, he was fed up with the whole thing. Isn't that interesting? Didn't satisfy yet at all. Walter Cronkite was the suave humanist, the worldly philosopher, now retired and wealthy. He's enjoying life as best he can. He was looking at life rather philosophically, but all he really was saying was, that's the way it is. This is it. This is all there is? No. Johnny Cash, on the other hand, admitted his background of alcoholism and dope addiction and the fact that he had virtually destroyed a marriage and wrecked his life, but he openly said he had found Jesus. There was peace in his eyes and contentment in his voice. He spoke of a hope for the future which neither of the others had. Johnny Cash made very clear that he had found what Jesus is talking about right here, the bread of life, bread that lasts beyond the mere satisfaction of physical hunger. Thus, Jesus had to correct that view of life.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.